The Lord be with you. Please be seated. Just as we come to our service this morning, for all that has been going on in the news over this last week, I'm so aware of fractured hearts and minds and questions and thoughts. So my hope and prayer for all of us this morning is that we just know that peace and grace that comes from God our Father. But let's just quieten our hearts before we pray together our collect for purity. And so we pray. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. The grace of God has dawned upon the world through our Savior Jesus Christ, who sacrificed himself for us to purify a people as his own. So we confess our sins in penitence and faith. You raised the dead to life in the Spirit. Lord, have mercy. You bring pardon and peace to the broken in heart. Christ, have mercy. You make one by your Spirit the torn and divided, but we fall short of the glory of God. Lord, have mercy. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy on us. Pardon and deliver us from all our sins. Confirm and strengthen us in all goodness, and keep us in eternal life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And if you can, we'll stand as we say the Gloria together. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to God's people on earth. Lord God, heavenly King, almighty God and Father, we worship you, we give you thanks, we praise you for your glory. Lord Jesus Christ, only Son of the Father, Lord God, Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us. You are seated at the right hand of the Father. Receive our prayer. For you alone are the Holy One. You alone are the Lord. You alone are the Most High, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, in the glory of God the Father. Amen. And our collect for this morning. Almighty God, whose Son revealed in signs and miracles the wonder of your saving presence, renew your people with your heavenly grace, and in all our weakness sustain us by your mighty power, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Please be seated. Our first reading this morning is from the first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 12, beginning at verse 12. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of that body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in the one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. Indeed, the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot were to say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear were to say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But But as it is, God arranged the members of the body, each one of them, as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many members, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the members of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and those members of the body that we think less honorable we clothe with greater honor, and our less respectable members are treated with greater respect, whereas our more respectable members do not need this. But God has so arranged the body, giving the greater honor to the inferior member, that there may be no dissension within the body, but the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together with it. And if one member is honored, all rejoice together with it. You now are the body of Christ and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then deeds of power, gifts of healing, forms of assistance, forms of leadership, various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess the gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? But strive for the greater gifts, and I will show you still a more excellent way. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And again, if you can, please stand. Hear the gospel of our Savior Christ, according to Luke chapter 4, beginning at verse 14. Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Then Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and news of him went through all the surrounding region. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified by all. So he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." Then he closed the book, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. And the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Father God, we thank you for your word. We pray it brings wisdom, encouragement, and challenge to our hearts this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. There's nothing worse than when you hear from someone, "Oh, did you see that yesterday? That was incredible." And you're standing there or sitting there going, "What did I miss? What was I meant to have seen yesterday? What have I not heard or connected in with that seems to be so remarkable?" We see or hear these different things, in particular within sport or in some fantastic natural event of, "Did you see? Were you there? Did you connect?" And we think, I don't know what you're talking about. And we feel, I'm out of the picture. My very first, when I was brought in as deacon in Greystones, my very first service, I had arrived and I was just wearing my t-shirt and trousers, and I met David Mungavin, who is the minister, still is, in Greystones, and he said, "Would you like to do the readings this morning?" I was connecting in, I was starting that Sunday, and I was there for the Wednesday morning communion service. I'd never been to one of these services before, And I was, yeah, that'd be great. He goes, well, it'd be good just for people to see you, to introduce you, to know who you are before you start on Sunday. He goes, yeah, that'd be great, lovely. So I sat down in the service, and he gave me the reading. One was Psalm 139. I love Psalm 139. And then the reading was in the Gospel of Luke. That was fine. I'd written it down on a sheet of paper. And then I was called up to do the reading. So I went up, and I had a Psalm 139, and I opened it up, and I started to read. And that was it. And then David says, please all stand for the gospel. And my sheet of paper that had the writing of the gospel was on my chair where David and Mary were. And I'm like, the sheet of paper's over there. I don't know. I forgot what the gospel reading was. I knew it was Luke. And I stood there looking at David. And David, 6'4", very jet black hair, he's just looking over at me like this. And I'm feeling the pressure because I've realized I don't have this. And I didn't know, does he preach from this passage now? Which I don't want to get the wrong passage. And this was the very passage that I just read out. I'll pick this passage. So here, the Gospel of Luke chapter 4, beginning at verse 14. Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm looking at David, and David's like, as if this is clearly his first time ever reading anything from the Bible ever. I was totally lost and felt helpless and like, oh no, he's going to think I'm an absolute idiot because I've forgotten what this is and I don't know. And the awkwardness was so real. What I didn't realize, they don't do sermons on Wednesday morning. It's just read and then we continue on with the communion service. So I sat down going, is he not preaching because I read the wrong one or what? And he goes, no, we don't preach. I was wondering why you were taking so long. And for me, it felt like half an hour of sheer silence and panic of I'm missing out on something. And I often think when Jesus got up and is looking through Isaiah, what was the time of silence of people waiting for the gospel message to be read out of what he was reading? And you say gospel message. I do say gospel message. Because in this particular passage of Isaiah, Jesus is setting out his mission. This is what the gospel is, to bring good news to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to help those who cannot see, see, to bring freedom to captives. And Jesus rolls this back up. Sits down, and eyes are on Jesus. Today, this is being fulfilled in your presence. Now, Bert, next week, is going to be unpacking the response of people. But this very gospel message, this call that Jesus says he is fulfilling from Isaiah, the prophet who has written this out to say this is who God's people are, to proclaim freedom, to preach good news, to bring healing for hearts that are broken. So as a follower of Jesus, when people say, what's it all about? This is what it's all about. And we have a choice in how we respond to this. How are we bringing healing to broken hearts? We have seen in this last week tragic news. And unfortunately, some tragic news gets put on top over other tragic news, and yet all of us experience tragic news. All of us have areas in our life that are fractured, that are broken. And we look for that space for healing. What does it look like? It could be down by the pier. It can be in a room like this where there is silence for a place to us to reflect. Most times, though, it is the connection with some other presence, human or not, that can bring healing to our hearts in just knowing someone or something acknowledges where I am at, knows who I am, and I am welcome. And this is a welcome all of us have been called to live out. This is not down to one or two or three different people. Our reading in Corinthians, when it talks about all these different body members, if you had to be a bodily member, what would you be? Would you be an eye? Would you be an ear, a nose, a leg, a foot? Whatever it is, we still continually try and figure out what our space or place is, not just within society, but in this body that we have been called into, which is church. This is our community. How do we live out our role as individuals connected with Jesus Christ? I can't believe so-and-so didn't do that. Why wouldn't they just connect in? Well, did you connect in? Did you help out? All of us have a role in different ways of how we connect. Some are incredible at cooking, and some will just bring a meal where a meal is needed. Some might give a voucher because that could be a blessing. Some will take someone out for a cup of coffee or go for a walk or fix a floor, put up some wallpaper. All these different areas are ways that we can connect and help. But the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon all of us to bring good news to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted. And sometimes in healing the brokenhearted, which is one that I think sometimes we overlook because it is almost the messiest out of all of them. How to free a captive, everyone around us. And here we have areas where we feel we are held hostage or we are captive to set something. Where do we find freedom with that? It is our call. It is God's will for us as the body of Christ, as a community, to connect in and where we choose to connect. Where you have experienced healing, where your heart has been broken, to be able to bring that healing to someone else is such a privilege. Where a need has been met, and you have either been part of meeting that need, or someone has come along to meet your need, that is such a blessing. It's our choice. John Stott talks about the book of Acts, of spirit and world, where the church invades the earth. That is our call. That is our call as God's people to connect in and to meet the needs of those around us. Some will know and some will never know. But God's Spirit is who leads us, and that is the challenge for all of us. How do we connect? How do we meet? How do we engage? Well, the first place is by sitting or standing with open arms saying, God, here I am. Here I am. Where do you want to send me? And not everyone is going to like potentially the outcome of how we connect in. Jesus, you will see, and Bert will explain this or we'll look through this next week, of the response that the people had of, who's this guy to say this? Who are you to say that you can bring freedom or heal captives or bring healing to brokenhearted? You are God's chosen. You are God's children. And we have all been called into this place to bring this gospel message in different and various ways. Just as we affirm our faith, read down through this part of Philippians 2. And ask, God, where can you use me within our community? So let us affirm our faith together. though he was divine, he did not cling to equality with God, but made himself nothing. Taking the form of a slave, he was born in human likeness. He humbled himself and was obedient to death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God has raised him on high and given him the name above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every voice proclaim that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. Let us pray. We give thanks for all who strive to bring freedom and well-being to peoples and nations. We remember any who are struggling under oppression or captivity, all who live in poverty or are homeless. We pray for those who suffer from injustice or violence, and all who are victims of greed or insensitivity. We ask you to bless the work of the United Nations and all peacekeeping forces. Lord, in your mercy, we give thanks for our homes and for all who have cared for us and taught us. Help us to be aware of your presence in our own homes and with our loved ones. We pray for any children who have been taken into care or who are separated from their parents due to illness, mental health, or family issues. We remember all who struggle with bad housing or live in deprived areas. Lord, in your mercy, we give thanks for our vision, our sight, and insight. We pray for all who suffer from blindness or restricted vision. We remember those who have lost sight of you or have no hope for the future. We ask your blessing upon all who are ill, who are in pain or in sorrow at this time. We pray for all who are bereaved and all who are lonely. Lord, in your mercy, and we take a moment of silence now to lift up our own personal prayers to you. Lord, in your mercy, we give thanks for the gift of life and life eternal. We praise you for our commission, our call. We rejoice in the fellowship of all your saints in glory. And we remember friends and loved ones who were departed from us. May all share with your saints in that life and love which are eternal. Merciful Father, accept these our prayers for the sake of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. And again, if you can, please stand. Our Savior Christ is the Prince of Peace. of the increase of his government and of peace, there shall be no end. The peace of the Lord be always with you. And give each other a wave, a wink, or a nod from where you are standing or sitting. Please be seated. Lord, accept your people's gifts, not gold, frankincense, or myrrh, but hearts and voices raised in praise of Jesus Christ, our light and our salvation. Amen. Christ, our Passover, has been sacrificed for us. The Lord is here. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Father, Lord of all creation, we praise you for your goodness and your love. When we turned away, you did not reject us. You came to meet us in your Son, welcomed us as your children, and prepared a table where we might feast with you. In Christ, you shared our life that we might live in him and he in us. He opened wide his arms upon the cross, and with love stronger than death, he made the perfect sacrifice for sin. Lord Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, on the night before you died, you came to table with your friends. Taking bread, you gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Lord Jesus, we bless you. You are the bread of life. At the end of supper, you took the cup of wine, gave thanks, and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for all for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Lord Jesus, we bless you. You are the true vine. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Dying, you destroyed our death. Rising, you restored our life. Lord Jesus, come in glory. Holy Spirit, giver of life, come upon us now. May this bread and wine be to us the body and blood of our Savior Jesus Christ. As we eat and drink these holy gifts, make us who know our need of grace, one in Christ, our risen Lord. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, blessed Trinity, with your whole church throughout the world, we offer you this sacrifice of thanks and praise and lift our voice to join the song of heaven, forever praising you and saying, "Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest." Thanks be to you, our God, for your gift beyond words. Amen, amen, amen. And as our Savior Christ has taught us, so we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. The bread which we break is a sharing in the body of Christ. And the gifts of God for the people of God. Jesus Christ is holy. Jesus Christ is Lord. To the glory of God the Father. Amen. I'm going to invite George and David, who will bring around our communion now. So the body of Christ, given for you. And the blood of Christ, shed for you. Father of all, we give you thanks and praise that when we were still far off, you met us in your Son and brought us home. Dying and living, he declared your love, gave us grace, and opened the gate of glory. May we who share Christ's body live his risen life. We who drink his cup bring life to others. We whom the Spirit lights give light to the world. Keep us firm in the hope you have set before us, so we and all your children shall be free, and the whole earth live to praise your name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Tomorrow the church is open, as always, from 10 till 12 for private prayer. We have our coffee morning at 10:30. Here as well, and on Sunday we have communion at 9:30, and 10:30 our outdoor gathering. Our Zoom prayer link, which I encourage all of us to try and connect in with, is on Tuesday evenings at 7:00. As you receive this blessing, always know that this blessing is for you to fill your heart, but also for you to be a blessing and to fill the hearts of those around you. So may you know the love of your eternal Father. May you know the call of Jesus in your life. And may you know the voice of the Spirit as you are guided and directed into the ministry in which all of us have been called. Bring good news to the poor. Heal broken hearts, set captives free, knowing, believing, and experiencing that God has done all of this for you, his child. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you always. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord.